All right. So good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Women of Grace and Faith Plus Faith Talks with Kia, Dangers of New Age Spirituality Bible Study Series. This is part two. We're just so excited to finish this assignment strong by way of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. So we thank you for those who are joining us live, as well as those who have been led to listen to the replay, have somehow allowed the replay, or the replay has come in front of you in some way, and you're actually being obedient to the Lord and listening to it. I pray, Minister Key, and I pray that it just ministers to your heart and the Lord really just shares, exposes, reveals, confirms, delivers, touches, all things that he does best, right? So before we begin, just super, super excited. Again, to those who are new and didn't join us the first time, I am joined by my wonderful co-host and partner in this kingdom assignment, but as well as many other kingdom assignments that we have been graced with and entrusted with by the Holy Spirit, and that is Minister Kia Durham. And I will turn it over to you, Minister Kia, for you to say a few words.
Hey there, guys. As Minister April mentioned, this is Women of Faith, Grace, and Courage, as well as Faith Talks with Kia collaboration, part two, The Dangers of the New Age. It's incredible. And I know Minister April felt the same, just the spiritual warfare and stuff that will come to the ministers or to the Bible teachers when you're preaching on something so heavy and something so serious and so real. And that's how I think we both know. I mean, we were already got the confirmation by way of the Holy Spirit that this is what we needed to preach on and teach on at this time and in this season. But I think we both got the confirmation just based on things going around, So just know that we don't come lightly. We have studied, we have prepared. The Bible says study to show thyself approved. And we have done that because we just feel that serious about this topic and just the dangers of it for the people and the people of God. So thank you, April, for having me again. And thank you for being on Faith Talks. But no, I'm just excited to dig into the lesson for tonight.
Yes, amen. And so in the first sort of, just to do just a quick recap of just some of the nuggets that were shared or revealed by way again of the Holy Spirit, because as Minister Kia said, we have prepared. We didn't just step up on this scene, you know, with a couple of notes. No, we have consecrated, been before the Lord, heard from the Lord. And again, we're sharing just that which the Lord has divinely revealed to us. And I think something Minister Kia said in part one, and that is for us to say it again, we are not experts in the New Age spirituality. Minister Kia will share her personal testimony and experience with yoga, but we are not experts and subject matter experts, and nor should we be as believers in New Age spirituality, but we are coming again, just sharing just more truth and shedding light on some of these practices and really the dangers of what it is and what it does to us as believers. And so the word of the Lord from part one, I have to share it again, is that the Lord really just spoke. He said, I want my children to see that I'm all that they need. So that is just to sum it all up, that's really where the Lord has us in this season in terms of what the goal of this assignment is. It's to get us all to return to that place where we're seeking the Lord only as our source, right? I mean, there's only one real source. And so we kind of just talked about just how there's two sources. There's one real source, one true source, but then there's a source of demonic power, and that's Satan, right? So if it's not of God, it is of the enemy. So we talked about that during part one and really just talked about how we have to always check the source and origin of the activity or practice, because Jesus Christ is truly our only source. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So tonight we're going to talk about using crystals for healing. And I want to be mindful of calling them healing crystals, because they're not healing crystals. They're the use of crystals for healing. And also we're going to talk about yoga. We're going to talk about the origin. We're going to peel back some of those layers of a very, very popular practice in exercise, activity. I mean, we can call it several different things, but we're going to talk about the dangers of even that as believers. So we'll just open up in just a brief word of prayer. Minister Key, would you mind just opening up the session in some prayer? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Mom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this time. Lord, we just thank you, God, for your people. We thank you for the brothers and sisters that are going to be live tonight And we thank you for those that are going to listen to the replay. Lord, we thank you in advance for deliverance and truth, Lord God, that will take place, Lord God, from the teaching of tonight. Lord, as we have prayed in our own personal prayers, Lord, hide us behind your cross, Lord God. Please don't allow us to say anything that's not specifically planted in us by you, by way of your Holy Spirit. Lord God, we don't go on this topic lightly. We go on this topic with reverence. We go into this topic, Lord God, built up, encouraged by way of the Holy Spirit. We've studied, we've shown ourselves approved. And so now here we are. Lord, we pray. Again, we pray for deliverance for your people, and we pray that truth really, really, really will come through. And we pray that their loss will be found, and that we pray for strongholds to be cast down and broken. All these things we ask in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So we'll just dive right into our first sort of topic and our first question, really just to kick off tonight's conversation. And we're going to start with yoga. And so let's just first start by just talking about what yoga is. So I'm going to turn it over to Minister Kia, and she's going to sort of lead us through this topic. So have your pen and your paper ready for some notes, yes, because I believe that the Lord is going to reveal some truth and some the practice of yoga and the origin of yoga. So Minister Kia.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ms. April. So guys, Minister April said it best. Please get your pen and your paper. I want to take some notes. I'm going to give you some resources to look back. For those of you that are live, please feel free to have your questions. Those that are going to listen to this on a replay, please feel free to DM either April or myself. Send us comments. If you're looking at this on a YouTube channel, if you're looking at this through the video, please drop comments. Because this is a discussion. This is not a lecture. This is an absolute discussion. So no matter how the Lord brings this medium to you, podcast, YouTube, live, no matter what, understanding is a discussion, and we want to talk about it. Amen. So first question for the night is, what is yoga? Well, at the beginning of the day, maybe we started that way. Yoga is a Hindu philosophy. Okay. Yoga is a Hindu philosophy. I'm gonna say it one more time. Say it for the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yoga is a Hindu philosophy. And if you don't take anything else from tonight's lesson, please, 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 brothers and sisters, I need you to understand this. There is no distinguishing between yoga, the philosophy, and yoga, the exercise. There is no distinction. Western world, our gyms, our saunas, our doctors, even some preachers and teachers and stuff, and we're not calling anybody out or anything like that, but there's just a lot of deception in the world, right? Understand, there is no distinguishing between the Hindu philosophy and the exercise. According to the book, Hindu Philosophy is written by a man named Theos Bernard. You can write that down. And just for background, Theos Bernard is one of India's foremost thinkers and philosophers in all things Hindu philosophy, and everything like that. So in this world, he's an influencer, right? He's one of the foremost thinkers in this. And he says in his book, the term yoga comes from the root yoj, to yoke or to join. Here it is used to mean the union or the yoke, right, of the individual spirit. So that's the individual person doing yoga with the universal spirit, which we'll get into in a few minutes, right? That is not the whole, and let me put a foot stomp. The universal spirit is not the Holy Spirit, okay? But let's put that pen right there. The art of, this is still, I'm still quoting Hindu philosophy written by Theos Bernard. The art of yoga is defined as a system of culture for perfecting human efficiency. It claims to destroy the defects and the diseases of the body and mind, to establish health and bestow happiness, to develop intelligence and reveal true knowledge of self, and to extract the nectar of all things. Okay. Now on the surface, this might sound great, but I have to remind you, you're yoking yourself to a universal spirit to get these things, not the Holy Spirit. Amen. So listen, so let's talk about it, right? Many of us know yoga as a physical exercise. we hear it, they do it in our gyms, our wellness, doctor's offices are now, you know, promoting this. We know it as a physical exercises of stretching, of doing different bodily movements. But yoga is actually a spiritual and physical discipline that uses the stretching and the physical exercises together with other practices for the spiritual purposes. In yoga, the body is believed to have the ability to facilitate the awakening of a source of energy called the Kundalini. And that Kundalini source that you're awakening when you do yoga is what yokes you to that universal spirit. So let's back this up a little bit, right? Because I want to make sure we really understand what I'm saying. The purpose of yoga, right? In Sanskrit, the actual word yoga means to yoke, okay? As in yoking to spiritual entities like Brahman and Shiva. So when we say when I said the universal spirit, that universal spirit is a Hindu god. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's not Jesus. It's not God. It's not the Holy Spirit. It is a Hindu spirit. When you do yoga, you are yoking yourself to a Hindu god, okay? The universal spirit, which is a Hindu god. And as we said in part one of this series, there's only two sources of energy, good and bad. It's the Holy Spirit or it's not. That's it. There is nothing in between. There are no neutral spirits. There are no good spirits other than the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit and there's enemy. There's light and there's dark. And doesn't originate with the Holy Spirit, then is of the darkness. Amen. So I just want to make sure we understand that. So when we're doing yoga, we are yoking ourselves to Hindu gods. Okay. That is what it is. So the stretching, the physical stretching, the movements, everything that we're doing that we're calling exercise is specifically and purposeful to align your body in such a way that you are yoking yourself to these Hindu gods. Does that make sense? So when we say that there's no distinguishing the spiritual from the physical, in yoga, the physical is spiritual. Does that make sense to everybody? So there's no distinguishing the two. According to yogapedia.com, the Hindu god Shiva, who is called and known as the destroyer in Hindu religion, was the first yogi. And from this particular person, all yoga knowledge and everything yoga was derived from this person, Shiva, right? Shiva is the god of all yogis and the god of the practice. So let's peel this back a little bit. Shiva, right? When you do yoga, you are yoking yourself to a universal spirit, a Hindu god, that Hindu god being Shiva, right? He is the god. If you're familiar with the Hindu religion, there are multiple gods. Shiva is the Hindu god that is over yoga. He's the one that founded it. That is what you're yoking yourself to. In the Hindu religion, Shiva is called the destroyer. So you are yoking yourself to the destroyer. Amen. Can we rest in that? Yoga means to yoke yourself to the universal spirit of the Lord Shiva, who is called the destroyer. Okay. John 10:10 says, because as Christians, we know there's one destroyer. There's one destroyer. There's one who was called to destroy. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come. Except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, right? So when we are doing yoga, it tells us in the name, we're yoking ourselves to the destroyer. The Bible tells us that the devil is the destroyer. So what does that tell us about yoga, right? There is no separating the physical from the spiritual because the physical is the spiritual in yoga. So when we're practicing yoga, when we're doing the stretches, when we're doing the downward dogs, when we're doing all the things, we are partaking in spiritual, an act of spiritual worship to the Hindu god of Shiva. Amen. I can't say it enough. Please understand this. There is no difference between the yoga, how yoga was formed and what it was formed to do, and the physical exercises that we have. Again, the word yoga in Sanskrit, so in its original language, means to yoke. And it means that you're yoking to Shiva the destroyer.
again, I can't state how powerful that is to know what we're doing and the basis of what we're doing. So when we go into yoga and we're going into these practices, we have to know what we're doing. We have to know the basis of it. We have to know where it started from. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's just, it's just such a powerful point as we just, and it just goes back to what was shared in part one. We must always check the origin, just because it sounds good, it feels good.
Gotta check the origin.
I mean, it might even, like, you know, even just seem appealing, and it may even seem close to something that's biblical, right? I mean, there are, even in the Bible, there were demonic sources of power that infiltrated, right, the people of God, where they were just amazed at sorcerers and magicians that would perform these acts, and they would automatically attribute it to being of God, right? And so that's precisely, if we aren't careful, what can happen when we see certain things and when we engage in certain things. They can automatically to us seem like, oh, this is harmless, this is not a sin, there's nothing in the Bible against this. But it's so important and to check the origin, because as soon as we start to go, okay, what is the origin of this, and we see it's not of God, it should give us a whole pause our spirit. And once it gives us a pause in our spirit, that means we need to steer clear. That means we need to decline the invite. That means we need to, you know, and I've actually attended like a wellness retreat, and it was in the Caribbean. And this is when I first became aware of, you know, just yoga and the danger of it as a Christian, because we all have to, you got to get to that place to become aware. And once we're aware, then we make better decisions. And I remember having to respectfully decline like the early morning yoga session that they had. And I was prepared. And it doesn't mean we have to go around telling people, I'm not going to do yoga, it's of the devil. You do it with grace and with tact, right? And the Holy Spirit gives us the right words. So I actually was just in prayer about what to say if they asked me why I declined the invite. And they actually did not ask me, but I did respectfully decline. And sometimes, guys, we'll have to do that, right? Where everyone, even around us as believers, will be engaging, because most of those people were believers. And so I had to be the one sitting in my room at 6:30 a.m. And but that was okay. It was well with my soul, right? And it should be well with your soul as well. And just having to just, I don't know why that was just on my heart to share, even just sometimes we feel pressured to participate in certain things. And when we're invited to do certain things and we know it's not necessarily of God, but we're just kind of like, oh, I'll go along. We can respectfully decline the invitation by way of the Holy Spirit. He'll give us the words to say if we need to say any more, or if we need to just say, hey, sis, I got to opt out of this one. I can catch you for lunch or for coffee or something like that. So I just kind of wanted to add that, Minister Kia. And so just looking at just the next question as we sort of get into a yoga or Davidson. So this is actually the first time that Minister Kia, I know that you're actually been released to share this testimony publicly. So why do you think now the Lord is kind of giving you the green light in your spirit?
Sure. It's funny. I've shared my testimony pieces, like, you know, small times here and there with individuals who've asked me specifically, or if I was just kind of in the middle of conversation or something like that, but never actually publicly, not on Faith Talks with Kia or, you know, any of my preaching assignments. But when the Lord gave you the vision for this series and you shared it with me, I knew that this is the season and that this was a time for the release. I just felt it in my spirit, even before we decided specifically to talk about yoga. Because remember, we were like, oh, there were so many different topics, because the reality is there's so many things when as it relates to the New Age and New Ageism, there are so many people. We could do a Bible series on this for the next, you know, every Friday for the next 6 months. There are so many things. And so before we even decided that, you know, yoga was going to be one of the things that we talked about, the spirit was already releasing that. I could already feel the release, and I just knew of it. I just knew it. And the scripture that keeps coming to me is Revelation 12 and 11. And I'm going to read it from the New King James Version, where it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." So listen, I know that there are Christian, there are believers that are being bound up by these practices. We know, and it's not hearsay, we know that yoga, Tai Chi, Reiki, some of these things that seemingly are more benign, they are gateways into the new age, you know, practices and new age, I don't know if you call it religion, or the new age philosophy. These things are a gateway. They were a gateway for me. For sure. And I'm going to get into my actual testimony in a few minutes, but we know that these things are gateways to believers. I mean, you have, again, churches that offer, you know, yoga practices. When I drive past, there's a church not far from our home, and I pass it on the way, taking my kids to school. And it's a big sign, you know, I don't know, I think it's like Tuesday morning yoga class, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, people really don't understand the dangers of it. And sometimes you might not know it if you don't know someone that went through it or something like that, but it really is dangerous. So, you know, for me, I started my exposure to yoga started when I was in grad school. When I was in graduate school, in Pennsylvania, I was working out, going to the gym, and I started taking a yoga class and I loved it. I get it, right? Because when you're in it, it feels great. Like, you feel great. Your body feels great. So I'm not going to front and act like, oh, it's this horrible thing. No, when you're in it, it feels good. But a lot of things that are not, a lot of things of the devil feel good at the time, right? Let's can we be real about that? So I started taking a yoga class and I absolutely loved it. I looked great. My body, I was in great shape. I was doing it once a week and I got really good at it. And so much so that I had started down the road to get certified so that I could actually teach it. But before all that could go through, I ended up graduating and then, of course, leaving the area where grad school and moved back home and start working all that. Fast forward, after I had my first child, trying to lose baby weight, right? I went back to yoga kind of as my safe exercise space. Like, that was my, like, I know I can get results. I know I can do it. I know I feel great. So after my first child, I went back to yoga. And again, I did it, got really good at it. I did it all the time. I started, it was called a 21-day yoga challenge. I will never forget it. I found it was on the internet. It was called, again, a 21-day yoga challenge. And I did it for the 21 day, every day for 21 days. And we know 21 days is how you form a habit. After the 21 days, I literally had to do yoga every day. And it got to the point where I was doing yoga multiple times a day. And when I look back, I was absolutely addicted. I was absolutely addicted to it. I didn't know it at the time, but I actually was. But I can even remember there was a time we were in church and, you know, was in the middle of praise and worship and, you know, just, you know, praise and worship. And all of a sudden I started feeling this urge to like do yoga moves, like literally in the middle of a praise and worship. And I'll get into in a few minutes what that was, but literally, in the middle of praise and worship, I felt the urge. And so like, I started like with some neck rolls and I was like, what is going on? And that was one of the first times when I realized that something was off. I was like, why? I'm like, I'm in the middle, like, not time to exercise. Like, why, what is happening? But there was like, it was just something was like force, like there was like a force that was pulling me. Because I was in the middle of praise and worship, right? I was in church, praising and worship. And it was like there was a force that was pulling me and wanting me to do yoga moves. So got through that. Then I started noticing other things. I was having visions and I was having dreams and I was seeing different things. And there was this heightened sense of like awareness. And there was so many things that were going on. And at first I didn't notice. At first I didn't notice. It just was, you know, I just didn't notice what was happening. And then I saw a vision of this like character in my dreams and it woke me up. And that's when I knew something was off. And so now I'm doing research. And what I researched and what I found out is what I saw in my dreams was actually a vision of this Hindu god they call Shiva. And so if you actually look up Shiva, you'll see that it's a character with multiple legs and arms and stuff. And it has a very specific look that I didn't know. I'm not Hindu, didn't grow up that way, but I had a vision. I actually saw the Hindu god I saw in my dreams. And that's when I was like, okay, something, that's when I knew that something was definitely off. At the time, I had access to a Hindu shaman from through a friend of mine, someone whose family is Hindu and into and very into Hindu philosophy. And I was like, hey, do you think he would talk to me? And she said, yes, and he did. And I actually had about a 40-minute conversation with the actual Hindu shaman. Like, this is what he does, right? This is what he does. He spends multiple months at the Himalayas every year, like his families do, because this is what they do. And I asked him, I was like, this is what's happening. And what he told me is that I had actually started to awaken what they call the Kundalini spirit. So when you do yoga, when Hindus are doing yoga, the goal of yoga is to find enlightenment. The goal of yoga is to find enlightenment and to wake up what they call the Kundalini spirit. And that Kundalini spirit is what's supposed to make you one and give you like this, give you this euphoric existence, this euphoric experience. It's supposed to yoke you with these Hindu gods that I mentioned earlier, Shiva and Brahman, which is what yoga is to yoke you to these Hindu gods. I was awakening what they call the Kundalini spirit. So I was awakening that I was reaching that enlightenment that they were wanting. And so at that time, I'm like, yo, I don't know what any of this stuff is. I hadn't, like, now I'm studied. I know what this stuff means. I didn't know what any of it was back then. And I asked him straight up, like, what does this mean? He was like, what you're doing. He was like, he told me straight up, y'all, he said, there are people who do yoga for 20, 30 years that, like, straight to get to where I was getting to in a year. Where I had gotten to in about a year. Like, literally, he was like, there are people who will go to the Himalaya mountains and will move to the Himalaya mountains, live off the mountains and do yoga every day, all day to awaken that Kundalini spirit, to get to that spirit, that place of enlightenment, or that place, that euphoric place of enlightenment. That's how real this thing is. And I had tapped into it doing yoga in my living room. You know what I mean? Like seriously, this is what was happening. And so as I talked to him, he's like, listen, if you're not a Hindu, if this isn't what you want, like, for us as a Christian, this is the worst thing ever, because I'm tapping into a spirit or a source other than the Holy Spirit. But to the Hindus, right, and to those who believe in this philosophy, this is like the equivalent of our being saved, sanctified, talking in tongues, right? Like, that's like, I was at that level for the Hindu religion, if I can be real with you, right? And so what he told me straight up, the Hindu shaman said, listen, if you're not Hindu, you should not practice yoga. The Hindu shaman told me straight up, he said, if you're not a part of the Hindu philosophy, if this is not what you want for your life, then you should not practice yoga. Because if you practice yoga and you're doing it effectively, you're going to get to that point, because that's what it is. It's like going to church and reading your Bible every day. Right? If you're in going to church and you're reading your Bible every day, at some point that word is going to quicken in your spirit and you're going to, that's what was happening. And that's what yoga does. And that's what yoga is. And so when we have people here in the Western world that says, hey, you can do yoga because it's just exercise, or you can do yoga without all that, I'm sure they mean well, but unfortunately they are speaking from a place of a lack of knowledge. Because when you talk to the ones that this is their life, this is what they do, they will tell you there is no separating the two. They will tell you that you can't do one without the other. You can't do the physical without the spiritual. Because again, like reading your Bible every day, if you have a hardcore atheist that opens up that Bible every single day, there comes a time where that word is going to quicken them. And that is the same thing with yoga. You don't have to necessarily follow the Hindu philosophy. You don't have to necessarily be a Hindu, but if you're doing those yoga practices every single day, something in that Kundalini, something in there is going to get in you, because you're worshiping them all the time. Does that make sense? And we can say, oh, I'm in the Sakia, I'm strong. You know, I'm rooted and grounded in the Holy Spirit. I know that. And I got you. But understand, when you're doing yoga, you are opening up the door to the enemy. Right? We can be strong. We can be guarded up by way of the Holy Spirit, and the enemy cannot attack. But when you open the door, now you're making portals, you're making fissures for the enemy to come in. And I hope I'm making sense. But when we do these things, we are opening the door. So when I started noticing all these things, and then when I talked to the Hindu shaman and he kind of told me all that, I was like, I'm done. I made a decision that day that I was wasn't partaking in anything that even looked remotely like yoga. It didn't matter. No exercise, no anything. I want to say it was probably good 5 or 6 months before I even stretched. I was like, nope, I'm not even stretching. I'm just gonna work out and it'll be okay. Like literally, I was like, I'm not doing nothing that even looks like yoga because I saw how dangerous it can be. And there were times in that experience I literally thought I was going crazy because of the stuff that I was seeing, and like it was off the chain. It was crazy. And I don't want to give too much. I don't want to give any, you know, power or anything to the enemy to give real specific, other than, like I said, the main thing was that dream that I had when I actually saw that Hindu god in my dream. It was that knocked me out. And that's when I knew again that something was wrong. I knew that I had to do something at that point. And so I decided to turn from all things yoga. And anybody that I knew and anybody that I came in contact with that was a Christian, that talked about yoga, I tried to tell them, listen, stay away from it. Stay away from it, because these are the things that can happen. And I didn't know. I certainly wasn't trying to. I was just trying to lose my baby weight. Right. I was just trying to lose that weight from having that baby. But meanwhile, I had opened up a whole door. I had opened up a whole portal into darkness that I didn't even know. And so many Christians, I believe, are doing that, which they're starting with yoga. They're thinking it's exercise. I'm just want to lose some weight. I just want to relax. I want to, you know, lose this anxiety, because yoga will give you that euphoric feeling. It will give you a feeling of calm. It'll give you a feeling of rest. It'll give you a feeling of peace, like, you know, your anxiety and all of that. I got you on that. You can't tell me nothing about yoga. Like, you can't tell me how good and great it is, because I know I was there, right? But I'm telling you, all of that is deception, because it's not the Holy Spirit that's giving you that. It's not the Holy Spirit that's bringing that. And at the end of that road is anything but peace and calm and relaxation and all the things that so many people will, you know, will share with us, right? And so many things that people will try to tell us yoga is about. And so one question that I get often is, should Christians partake in yoga? And my personal thought on that is no. I honestly believe that Christians should just stay away from yoga altogether. Don't even touch it. Don't look at it. Don't touch it, because it is a gateway. like I said, it does feel good in the moment. It will give you the results. You will lose the weight. You will lose the stress. You will lose the anxiety. But again, does the ends justify the means? When that Hindu shaman told me that day, hey, listen, if you don't want to be a Hindu, then don't do yoga. That's all I needed to hear, right? Like, that's what he told me. If you don't want to be a Hindu, if this is not what you're wanting to do, then don't do yoga. And so that's the same way I feel. And that is the approach that I take with it as a Christian. If the Lord is your light, if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and the Holy Spirit is your source of inspiration and encouragement and everything, then yoga is something that you want to refrain from. It's something you want to stay away from. It is not rooted in anything by way of the Holy Spirit. It is rooted in worship to a false god. It is rooted in worship to a false god that they call the destroyer. It is rooted in things that just aren't of God. It's idol worship. And I believe that all Christians should refrain from it. And so you say, well, Kia, why do you say all Christians would refrain from it? In addition to what I just said, really quickly, I'm just going to give you, I got five key points of why, you know, I truly, truly believe, because what I don't want to leave this broadcast thinking, oh, well, Kia, you know, Minister Kia, that was a great opinion. I don't want that, right? These are the reasons by way of scripture, the five reasons why I truly believe that all Christians should refrain from yoga. First thing is, yoga leads people away from Christ. As I mentioned earlier, yoga means to yoke. And it's different from the yoke that's in the Bible, the one that Jesus talks about. In Matthew 11 and 30, Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, the Lord, Jesus wants us to yoke to him. Yoga is yoking you to another. And remember my testimony when I said I was dead set in the middle of praise and worship one day at church, and this urge to do yoga. That's because that Kundalini spirit didn't like the competition. That Kundalini spirit didn't like that I was praising and worshiping my God, who is the Holy Spirit. So that Kundalini spirit was trying to pull me away, right? Literally in the middle of praise and worship, this urge to do yoga, right? That's what yoga does. It pulls you away from Christ. Second thing, as I mentioned earlier, Yoga Poses are offerings to the millions, the many, many, many of Hindu gods. Acts 15 and 29 says, abstain from all things offered to idols. We have to remember the physical practice of yoga is spiritual in nature. It's because those physical practices are what's tying you to the spiritual beings in the Hindu religion. The Bible says, abstain from all things offered to idols. When you do yoga, you are offering your body to these idols. Third, yoga has a spiritual nature that can't be separated from the physical exercise. This is the one reason why the shaman I spoke to, and if you research it, if you look, you will see expert after expert after expert that says yoga is Hinduism. You can read it in books, you can look it online, and I'm not talking about Christian resources. I'm talking about Hindu resources. Hindu resources will tell you yoga is Hinduism and that there is no separating the physical from the spiritual, right? So this isn't just us far right conservative Christian evangelicals saying this and that. No. These are actual what the Hindus themselves say, right? This is what they say, that yoga is Hinduism. Fourth reason, yoga is highly sensual in nature. And again, it opens up our focusing on feelings rather than faith, our emotions rather than the word of God. A lot of times when I have this conversation with Christians about yoga, oh, but yoga feels good. The exercise is great. I'm in shape. The focus is on our emotions, how we feel this, and not on our faith and not on the word of God. Again, it's taking you away from Christ because it's taking you away from his word, and it's focusing on us, on our thoughts, on our feelings. And lastly, yoga says empty the mind, right? When you're doing yoga, at the end of your yoga pose, it always says empty your mind, clear your mind, release all your thoughts from your mind. Christianity, and when we're in Christ, the Bible says be transformed by the renewing of your mind on the word of God. That's a difference. It's a difference with a distinction, emptying your mind and transform and being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not the same. It might sound similar, but it is not the same. The Bible tells us that he wants us to renew our mind by focusing on Jesus Christ, not emptying our mind so that the darkness can then set in. Amen. So like I said, I'm hoping, my prayer is that something that I said made sense, that something that I said resonated. This is my testimony, and I wanted to share my testimony, but I also wanted to give you guys Bible to back up what I'm saying. So to the one who maybe have done yoga, to the one who maybe find themselves like, you know, yeah, I've done this, repent. Turn back to Christ. You are forgiven. You are forgiven the second you stop. Ask for that forgiveness. Ask Jesus to show you how to seek and find your inner peace, how to seek and find your physical fitness, your calm, and all the other things that you may have sought in yoga. If you're doing yoga, the chances are you're probably seeking something, either physical fitness, peace, calm, maybe anxiety, you know, plagues your life right now. There's something you're seeking, which is why you're doing yoga. Look to Jesus for that. Look to the Holy Spirit for those things. One of my favorite Bible verses I leaned on during this time when I was having to turn from yoga and really rest on the Holy Spirit was 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. And I'm going to read it in the Message Bible because this is the version that I don't normally preach from the Message Bible, but this is the scripture that helped me. And it's, again, it's 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Listen, it is God's will for you to be fit. It is God's will for you to be acceptable, for you to be put together, for you to be encouraged, for you to have peace in your life, for you to cast down depression. It is his will for you to look good, feel good, because when you look good, you feel good. And it is God's will. He wants that for you, but he wants it for you according to his word and his word only. Amen. So if you're seeking all these things, seek those things in Jesus, seek those things in the Holy Spirit. And I promise you, you will find those things. The word says, knock and ye shall find. If you seek him out, he will give you those things, those desires of your heart. The Bible says he wants for us. He wants us to be holy and whole, put together when he comes. When he comes, he wants us to be together. He don't want us broken down, but beat up and bruised. No, he wants us fit. He wants us holy. He wants us acceptable when he comes back. So seek him for the things and cast the over them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes. Just so amazing. So powerful. So liberating. And I know that it will bring forth some deliverance in those who are have called themselves yogis. I know a few people who, I mean, believers, and they're hardcore yogis. And so I just don't think that they have been brought forth or forward to a place where there's been this level of, I think, knowledge that has been shared. My people perish, right? Says the word of God, for lack of knowledge. Wow. So I'm trying to figure out the right word, just really in awe at God's faithfulness to allow us to bring this series together for such a time as this, because he knows all things. So he knew what this series was going to do, who this series was going to impact, how this series was going to really move through the hearts of his children, whether live or the replay. And just to know, like Minister Kia said, wow, that it is so real, and that it is, just for the Hindu shaman to tell you that explicitly is, I mean, if that's not confirmation enough that we should run, exit stage left, cancel all yoga memberships. Right. Don't walk. Right. Run, cancel classes, take the L on the money we pay for the year long yoga classes, cancel that certification. I mean, wow, God. And the thing that's so beautiful about our Lord and Savior is that, like you said, just repentance is just the greatest gift second to the gift of salvation. So it's the ability for us to say, "Woo, Lord, I had no idea that this was like, oh my gosh, that this was so far left and so far contrary to your word." And then we can just go before him and we can share our heart. We can confess, right, what we have done. And just like that, right, like the Lord literally, I mean, he's just to think about that. I mean, just as soon as we come before him with a repentant heart, he has forgiven us. As soon as we make that decision to turn away from all other sources and just solely rely on our King and the Lord of our lives, Jesus Christ. I mean, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful to know that this message does not bring forth condemnation, but it brings forth liberation. It brings forth transformation. Right. It brings forth restoration. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Oh my goodness, God. I think God really did something in that, Kia, Minister Kia. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but Sasha, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Like
you
said, there's no condemnation. There's no judgment. There's no retribution. None of that. It's just the way. It's just the Lord sharing what the Lord said, sharing his promises of his word. Because I think sometimes we forget that the promises are in the word. The world is pushing so much at us all the time that we forget that those things are in his word, that he loves us enough to give us everything we need in his word. We just have to look for it. We just have to look for it. And we just have to bind these things that seem so that seem so pleasing, right, to the eyes and to the flesh and such. Just binding those things, knowing that the enemy is there. And we know, like I said, we know it's a gateway. We know it's a gateway, but we can't be ignorant to his devices, because they are his devices. They are his devices. And yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we're going to move into another sort of hot topic or buzzword, for lack of better words, that's also just really just been rising to the surface. And really just, I've personally talked to individuals and know, Minister King and I both know individuals who have believers who are actively involved with crystal healings. And so Minister King, I'll let you kick us off with the first question that we have on as we get into the segment on crystals.
Sure. So before we get into that, Minister April, I did want to ask you just one thing. We didn't touch on it. You mentioned it briefly a few minutes ago when we were still talking about it. Before we brought it up, I just want you to share with the people one more time, because I just feel like that is in my spirit, that confirmation that, hey, if you get the invite, or if you're, you know, if somebody's asking you, you know, that it is in fact okay, you know, to turn away. If you can just touch on that a little bit more, because I think that there are a lot of people who will hear that pressure from other believers. Yeah. And I just think sometimes that it might just be a good thing for them to hear that, hey, you know what, it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So as I was sharing before Minister Kia went into her testimony, is that I was a part of a believer, a sister in Christ was hosting like a health and wellness retreat. So of course, it was beautiful, absolutely amazing. But they had, I think there were two yoga sessions throughout this 3 days. And this was during the time, this was about 5 years ago. So this was, 4 or 5 years ago. So this was around the time that somebody else had opened my eyes to, and I was never like a big yoga person, but nonetheless, someone had opened my eyes to do research and begin to come to the knowledge of the full knowledge of the truth. Like, oh my goodness, I can't do yoga even if I was invited. And I actually had a really good friend, one of my best friends at that time, who was like hardcore yoga. So we were together on this trip, right? So you're talking about like pressure, because this is the person you've come with. So this is the person who wants to do all the activities, especially the yoga, right? Because she was really like into yoga. I mean, really into yoga, and still is to this day. So I prayed even this message would just reach her and touch her. And so I just remember having to come to that place where she had to go alone. And it was so, it was just nothing but the Lord, is that I didn't even, although I was prepared to say whatever the Lord was going to allow me to say, when I declined those sessions, she didn't even ask me why. She didn't ask me why, but nonetheless, I told her that I was not going to attend the yoga sessions. And I was going to connect with her later back at our room. We shared a room. So you're talking about, this is the person you came with. This is the person you're going to kick it with for the rest of the time. This is the person you really probably wanted to do everything with the entire time. But see, there comes a time, oh, glory to God, we have to draw a line in the sand. And we're going to have to pick Christ over friendships, Christ over what is pleasing to the crowd, Christ over what seems popular, Christ over what may cause people to give us side eye because they're looking at us crazy. Like, girl, it's okay. No, it's not okay. And once we know it's not okay, it is so okay for us to go, I'm going to catch you later, sis. And if we have to go further into our beliefs, then the Lord will open the door for us to do that. And he'll give us the right words to say. Right? But we have to be okay with declining. And this extends beyond yoga. Anything that is contrary to the word of God or compromises our faith and our soul is at risk. Gateway? That was so deep. When you said gateway, I'm like, oh my gosh, a gateway. I mean, my goodness, a gateway. These new age practices are gateways to other strongholds and demonic spirits that don't just affect us, but they affect our children. They don't just affect. So sister, brother, it is okay to say, listen, bro, I'm gonna catch you later. I can't do this, or whatever it is. Like, listen, sis, I'm gonna catch you later. I'm not gonna participate in this, you know? And then it's just okay. Let it just be okay. And do not let the enemy torment you by telling you that you're not a good friend or you're not a good person or whatever these lies are of the enemy that will come. Cause he'll try to do that. If we aren't grounded and rooted in this thing, like we know, he'll try to come and torment us and tell us that it's only exercise. Why wouldn't we do it? Why would we leave our friend hanging? Why now she's going to look at you crazy? I mean, these are just real things and seeds of the enemy. So I'm glad
we leaders and let's put stop to leaders too, right? Yes. It can be a friend, it can be a family member, it can be a leader too, because again, we know that there are churches that offer these classes in the churches. There yes. are pastors that I'm aware of that have, you know, shared with the congregation that, you know, hey, you know, do this or that. We know that in the kingdom, that, you know, health and wellness hasn't always been a priority for in the kingdom. It just hasn't been right. For many, many years. Like my grandmothers in their generation, the focus was on your spirit and your soul. They didn't care what you look like. Listen,
right.
They just wanted you to be right with God. Right. And so we know for a long time, that was the focus. Amen. But now we know better. And now that we know better, we can do better. So yes, we should be exercising. Yes, we should be, interested in and caring about our health and wellness, because if we're strong, we can do more work for the kingdom, right? The more strong and built up we are, it's Proverbs 31:26, I believe. Is it 26? I believe it's 26, where the word says, her arms were built up and it was strong, so she could do the work of the Lord. And I'm paraphrasing that, so nobody hit me in the comments on that one, but basically that's what the word says, and we know that. And so exercising is good and all that. So you might have leaders, elders of your church that are even saying this, or elders in the faith that are saying, hey, have you tried yoga and this and that? And it's okay. Even in that instance, it's okay to respectfully decline, because when we know better, we have to do better. And not everybody is breaking it down. Not everybody is researching. Not everybody is studying. People see an exercise and they're running towards it.
Right.
That is what it is, but it's okay to say no. It's okay to respectfully decline, especially once you know. And I just felt it in my spirit to just kind of, just put a pin in that part and just foot stomp that a little bit more, because it's a real thing, right? Because it's a very real thing. So moving on to healing crystals. This is another hot topic in the new age. Ism, the new age movement that's coming in. So April, we're just gonna jump right into it. Basically, is it okay, right? Is it okay for a believer? And I think we should also make this caveat too. And we did it in the first Bible series, but everything we're talking about on basically from the perspective of the believer, right? Because if you're a believer, you profess Jesus Christ as your savior, the Holy Spirit is your source. And this is the source we go through. For somebody that's not a believer, this conversation might look different, right? This conversation might look and sound a lot different. The yoga conversation as well. But for the believer, for the one who have accepted Jesus Christ as their savior, for the one who has been filled with by way of the Holy Spirit, for the one who walks in salvation. Amen. Minister April. Is it okay to be involved with crystal healing and crystal power and all the other, parts of this?
Yeah. So thank you for giving that disclaimer, so that even, if there's somebody who's not a believer is catching this part of the podcast, we will actually have an opportunity at the end. Because who knows, the Lord could have allowed you to stumble across this because he's getting a hold of your heart. So we'll actually have prayer at the end for those who want to make Jesus Christ Lord of their lives, right? So that is so important and so essential. And even for those who feel like, I need to rededicate my life to Christ, because sister and minister, they've been talking to me tonight. Like I've been yoga, and that's okay. So we're just going at the end, we're going to have time for all of those things. Again, we come with just the opportunity for just all of, those who have engaged in the practices to just repent and renounce and just rededicate so that restoration can be brought forth. Amen. Amen. So let me just start by just stating that Minister Key and I want to start with this cold hard truth and this fact. Crystals themselves are absolutely beautiful, precious stones that our Creator created. Let's start with that. So we are not, let us be clear, we are not coming saying that crystals in themselves are evil and of the devil. We are not saying that. Crystals themselves are precious stones, and they're actually referenced throughout the Bible. And so I'll give just a couple of references, not too many, but they are referenced throughout the Bible. Precious stones, jewels. My daughter likes to pick up different beautiful crystals that she finds. She's not trying to seek them out for healing. She wants to collect them because they're pretty, right? And they're beautiful. That is absolutely okay. And as I was preparing for this, I did actually come across an article, even before I get too deep in, and it was actually an article on healthline.com, and it was from a third generation energy healer, or witch, actually is what she referred to her. It was a very bold, brazen article, and it was just her sharing her witchcraft practices. And part of her witchcraft practices are the use of crystals from the metaphysical store that she goes and gets, and she uses them to align her mind. And again, we're talking about the enlightenment. That's the whole foundation of New Age practices. It is spiritual and physical enlightenment, but it is not by way of the Holy Spirit. So I'm reading this article in Healthline, and she's going into detail about how this has been something that has been done generation after generation in her family of witches or energy healers, right? But witches, energy healers is all the same. But if we are engaging in these practices as a believer, it made me sit back and go, oh my goodness, we're actually engaging in the same practices as witches. And she referenced it, she called it what it was, she called it witchcraft. And this is the witch herself speaking, right? This is, and I'm blown away because we are so like in awe of like the crystals, and oh my goodness, there's this store. And I've heard that the lines are out of the door for crystals. And this is what a believer shared. And she said, well, because I needed it for peace, and I needed it for healing. They have crystals for love. They have crystals for like mental stability. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So I just want to, let's go to the word of God. What does the word of God say about crystals? Because if it's not mentioned in the word of God as producing healing or having any healing power, then it is not of God. And if it's not of God, as Minister Kia has foot stomped and said throughout the entire series, it is of Satan, right? It is of the enemy. It is not anything that is going to bring us any powers by way of the Holy Spirit. It's just not. So back to our original point, crystals themselves are precious stones. They were referenced throughout the Bible, not as having any special like qualities or mystical powers that are going to provide any form of like healing or protection, but they were referenced as jewels of adornment, right? There's actually portions of God's glorious heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, which it talks about in Revelation is being constructed from crystal, and it goes into like the different precious stones that are referenced, and it talks about like jasper and it talked about just other precious stones that are going to be a part of just the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, right? And then if we look at the Old Testament, the breastplates that were actually worn by the Levitical high priest, they actually contain precious stones that were engraved with the name of a tribe of Israel. So we're talking about the same crystals that now people are trying to use for healing were actually a part of their attire, their garment. They were used as jewels of adornment. They were topaz, amethyst, turquoise, onyx, jasper. These are the very same like stones that are being sold in the stores, these metaphysical stores that are being that have been perverted, thank you Holy Spirit, into stones of or crystals of healing. There is no mention in the Bible of these precious stones, right, bringing healing. So what is the problem? Where does the problem come in, Minister April? Like, well, Minister Kia, like what's the real problem? So the problem comes in is when we find ourselves then taking what God has created, oh, glory to God, right? Our creator. And then now we're relying on the thing to bring qualities that only our Lord and Savior can bring, right? That to bring qualities that only our Lord and Savior can produce, right? So we're talking about protection and healing and peace and love. So those people who have those stores who sell crystals, they are focused on this spiritual energy world, this enlightenment, this you can do all things with yourselves, line up the crystals with these seven areas on your body, and it's going to do something in your inner. This is deception. We as believers, our source of healing and protection and peace, it is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, oh Messiah. So we know, oh glory to God, that every single thing relevant to crystals for the purposes of healing, it is yet again another scheme, plot, and plan of the enemy himself. Right. And it goes back to something that we've been talking about throughout the entire series. And that's the enemy's desire to deceive you and I. Those of us on this line, those of us who are listening to the replay, it is to deceive us into believing that we can use things that were formed by God as a source of power. So what we end up doing, and I know this to be true, I've talked to somebody who was actually saying how this became a stronghold in her life. We end up worshiping the stone, right? The creation instead of the creator. That is a form of idolatry. God said, you shall have no other gods before me. It's a form of idolatry when we dangle this crystal around our neck and we say, I gotta take my crystal with me. It's gonna give me protection in case anything happens. No, the Lord is our protector. Let's look at Psalm 34. Let's look at Psalm 34, 19. Excuse me, no, let's look at Psalm 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our protector. And there are so many verses throughout Psalms that talk about the safety and the security that we have as believers in God. Psalm 34, 19 is well known in the Christian community. And it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. That means in the midst of a season where we think we need to have a crystal and dangle it around our neck and I don't know, hang them around the house. I don't know how it works, but nonetheless, when we find ourselves, and if we have found ourselves in that season, we have to look to the word of God to know that we will have troubles and we will have things that we need to seek deliverance from, or we need a way out, or we need clarity. People have stones for like mental clarity, and I need like, I need some confirmation on this husband. And I mean, just all kinds of things. We can seek the Lord for all of those things. Healing power is in the name of Jesus. Oh, can I say that again? Healing power is only available by way of Jesus Christ. Supernatural protection is available in the blood of Jesus. So the enemy, we have said this in part one. Let me tell you something. One thing's for sure, two things for certain. The adversary could care less about our little bit of peace of mind. He could care less about our peace. He don't care about our little bit of healing that we think we got from this little crystal we dangling around our neck. He does not care. His only assignment, is to separate us from relationship and complete dependence upon our Lord and Savior. So when we are relying on anything and anyone else other than Jesus Christ, Satan is sitting back like, yeah, that's precisely what his scheme and his, but we are exposing, noble Sire, we are exposing the plot and plan of the enemy tonight in the name of Jesus. So sister, brother, I don't know what you were bound up in prior to tonight, but I can tell you that Minister Kia and I have come to speak truth, and the word of God says they shall know the truth. Woo! And the truth shall make them free. The truth shall set you free. So there's freedom, oh Sawyer, being released on this call tonight. Hallelujah. There's deliverance being released on this call tonight. After tonight, we pray that you won't need another crystal for healing, that you and I will get on our knees and we will call out to the Lord, and he will deliver us. He will heal us. He will protect us, because all of those things are only found in Jesus Christ. That healing was made available to us 2,000 years ago. So we have to tell Satan, you know what, Satan, I gave you a little something when I allowed you to let me walk on down the street to that crystal store. But you know what? I am taking back the authority that I have. I am taking back what I know to be true. I am getting back into my word. I am rededicating my life to Jesus Christ. And he is going to be my only source, right? Healing of our mind, body, and soul was made available to us by way of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Let's look at Isaiah 53. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version, right? It's referencing just the all of what Jesus Christ had endured, right? In order for us to receive the healing. And this is holistic healing, healing of our mind, healing of our body, healing of our, it's all made available in Jesus Christ. It says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, meaning by his wounds, we are healed. Oh, somebody should receive that tonight. There's no healing available in a crystal. You can rub the stone together. The witch was saying how they like burn it. I mean, you can do whatever it tells you, the instructions that probably come with it. It doesn't matter. You can skip the stone down the steps. We don't care what you do with the stone in the natural. What we're telling you, Minister Key and I, what we're sharing by way of the word of God, and this is the truth, is that there is only healing that is available in Jesus Christ. And that's going to be when you begin to call on the name of Jesus Christ, you will know that crystal, that you should get your money back. As a matter of fact, don't worry about your money, because you don't need to step foot back into that store. So you just have to take a nail and toss all those crystals in the trash, tie it up and set it outside and say, you know what, Jesus, I was tripping. Minister Kim, Minister April really shared the truth. And now I want to run back into your arms, God, just using you, God, as my source. Because again, healing for us as believers. Oh, I mean, this is just exciting. We don't need to seek a source, an outside source for healing. We have Jesus Christ. And so we speak to him just as the healer, but we also look at him as the Prince of Peace. So we're talking about so many of us believers, we're restless at night. We got depression and anxiety and all these other mental illnesses. And so we're running to that crystal store because we feel like we've exhausted all of our efforts. Well, the Lord's not answering my prayers, but sister, we implore you, keep praying. Keep calling upon the name of the Lord, because let me tell you, there's no peace outside of Jesus Christ. There's no peace outside of the Messiah. There's no peace outside of the Prince of Peace. So if you're seeking peace in anything else, it's going to just be fleeting for just a little bit of a moment. You're going to feel some peace. Then next thing you know, you're going to be back to being anxious and restless and tormented. Woo! But tonight, we're just going to pray over those who are, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Tonight at the end, we're going to pray over those who are tormented in their spirits, who are actually seeking the stones for peace. We're going to pray over you tonight, and we're going to bind up those tormenting spirits, and we're going to loose the noble side. We're going to loose the peace of God into your heart and mind tonight, so that you will never have to seek a stone of Osiris. Woo! You will never have to seek a stone for anything else in your life other than to admire the beautiful work of the Lord. Hallelujah. And in my closing, glory to God. Oh, Jesus. I pray that this is ministering to somebody's heart. I got to release this thing, how the Holy Spirit gave it to me. We all have an assignment. We all have something to do. And so Minister Key and I, we are so graciously walking this assignment out. And this has been a week. So when we talk about the warfare that comes with any assignment of this magnitude, please know what's at stake for Minister Key and I. We've had to plead the blood of Jesus over our children and our families. We've had to bind up spirits of manipulation, retribution, retaliation, so that we could bring forth this truth unto us, or release it unto you all tonight. So please know we didn't just skate into this assignment with our eyes closed. We came into this assignment with our eyes wide open, but we were willing. We have been willing to lay it all down for the sake of your souls. Just as others have introduced certain things to us and revealed truths to us before we became where we are now. It is not a condemnation. It is an opportunity. Oh, glory to God. It's an invitation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. To lay down everything that you may have been gripping so tightly, that you have been seeking as an outside source in lieu of or in place of the Holy Spirit and in place of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about love, oh man, there's so many that their hearts are hurting. They want love. They didn't experience love growing up. I mean, can we just talk about the love of our Lord and say, I mean, you're talking about an everlasting love. Romans 5:8, and I'll read it in the New King. It says, God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If that's not pure sacrificial love, that's the love that is available to each and every one of us as children of God. So if you're struggling with feeling love, we're going to pray about all, Minister Key and I, we're going to end this, we're going to finish strong. So we're going to pray about all of these things tonight. We're not going to leave you hanging, my sister. We're not going to leave you hanging, my brother, by way of the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask for just the Lord to just fill your heart with his love, that you would open up a Messiah, that you would just open up your hearts to be able to receive all the love, oh, in the name of Jesus, that God wants to pour out into your heart tonight. So again, you will never seek another outside source for the love that only God can just lavish upon us as believers. And lastly, if we want to experience that true love, we must have a genuine and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And as Minister Kia mentioned in part one, and she ministered tonight so beautifully, Jesus Christ is the one and only source. John 14:6 says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We cannot do anything apart from Jesus Christ. So we can play around with the crystals if we want, but it's going to lead us further away from Jesus and closer to the gateways and the strongholds and the different things that the enemy just desires for us to walk into to keep us bound and entangled. But we want to speak freedom over your life tonight. in the name of Jesus. We want to offer you an opportunity to break free from the chains of the enemy. We want to offer an opportunity to dismantle, oh hallelujah, the strongholds of the enemy by way of the Holy Spirit. And so sisters and even brothers that might receive this replay from someone, we've shared all that we have to say tonight. And I just say this last point, if we are seeking clarity, confirmation, peace, love, protection, healing, wellness, focus, I mean, all of these things, we can seek the Lord as believers. We can seek the Lord, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, confirmation, revelation. Oh my goodness, the Lord is like literally just waiting for us to just ask him for all those things so that he can bestow those things upon us in his grace. So we thank you tonight. Oh, we thank you tonight. And I open it up, Minister Key, for you to add anything before we get into to prayer. The spirit of prayer is certainly stirring up tonight. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much, Minister April. I, as you mentioned, definitely have released everything that the Holy Spirit have given me to release on this night. The only thing I would just want to put stop to anyone listening to this, either here on live or catching the replay, is Jesus Christ is your source. It's to remind us all that Jesus Christ is the source. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. Yes, period. He is our source. Everything that we seek, anything that we need, we can find in Jesus by way of the Holy Spirit, period. What the new age religion will try to do in a counterfeit way is to try to replicate those things that the Holy Spirit will give us, those things that the Holy Spirit, but again, it's counterfeit in that it's fleeting, it's for a moment, but the end of that road is not, the end of that road is destruction, mm-hmm. right? In yoga, the God that you're yoking to is the destroyer. And ultimately the destroyer is the one that's behind all of this. The lady, the witch, talking about the crystals, it's witchcraft, right? Yoga, it's worshiping of a false God, the devil. You know, all of them. And you can multiply this times any of these things, Tai Chi, sage. I can't even think of all the different ones. Multiply it times any of these new age practices, and it's all the same. The road to all of these things, they all end the same, is in destruction, because the enemy doesn't mean us any good. He doesn't care about us. He doesn't care about our well-being. Only Jesus does. Only Jesus Christ does. And so out in this, the way we started our first podcast in this series, is to remember there's only two sources of energy, of power, of anything supernatural in this world, and that's Jesus Christ and that's the enemy, Satan. So if your source is either Jesus Christ or it's not, period. And no matter what we call him, we can call him the enemy, the destroyer, we can call him Lucifer, we can call it the devil. It's Jesus Christ or it's not, period. We can split hairs on all these other things, but at the end of the day, it's Jesus Christ or it's not. And so in all things that we do, we can foot stomp this last thing in all things we do, and in everything that we put our mind, our energy, our body, our spirit, our soul, our bodies to, always remember, we need to just check our source. That's it. At the end of the day, just check our source. Who is the source of the power or whatever we're getting, that peace, that whatever we're feeling at the end of it? Who or what is the source of that power? If it's not Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, then it isn't. And if it isn't, then that means it's of the devil. And that's it.
Amen. Amen. And so we'll pause just to hear from anybody on the line. We'll open it up. We shared a lot, but we pray good stuff, a lot of, again, divine revelation. So we'll open it up to our sisters that are on the line to hear whether this was confirmation, whether this was what you already knew, but it just added, you know, just some nuggets of wisdom or revelation to what you already knew, or if this was speaking to you. So we'll just open it up for just a few minutes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Minister April.
Hello, Minister Kia. This is Sherry Cooper, and I just wanted to thank you. I'm out of town, but I had to catch this Bible study tonight. It's so important, and you don't hear a lot of people talking about these things. Me being a minister myself, with working with young women, a lot of times these kind of questions come up, and this just kind of brings clarity to me, you know, when I'm talking with them, because a lot of things, a lot of this new age things, like you talked about tonight, yoga, and these practices of crystals and burning sage and all these different things. So I want to thank you for, I got 2 pages of notes because it brings clarity. Because sometimes you know these things are wrong, but you don't always know exactly why. And so you both have helped me a lot. Just give me some, you know, the word, and just bring some clarity to some of these things. So thank you. This was amazing.
Thank you.
Amen. Yes. Oh, yes. And it is especially prevalent amongst the youth. It is like the next best thing amongst the youth. Yeah. So I was sharing with Minister Kia, my niece, who was like 8, had her crystal necklace. I'm like, where'd you even? So I had the opportunity to minister to her. I mean, she doesn't know the Lord, but I still planted a seed that we don't use crystals here. She tried to give it to, you know, to Ava, because she had like crystals in her backpack. She pulled crystals. She had a whole little metaphysical shop in her backpack. She pulled crystals out of that backpack. I said, oh, no, ma'am. We had to have a little moment. And it was 3 girls actually in the car. So it was a moment for everybody in the car. It was a teachable moment. And so she said, oh, okay. She put them back in her backpack. And I'm sure she won't bring them back to the house. But yeah, it's something that we're seeing. I mean, she's 8. So I'm like, but her mom gave her. My sister gave her. My little sister gave her. So yeah, it's something we're seeing parents that are just giving their kids the crystals because they're like, oh, can I have some crystals? It's a trend.
It's a trend. And like you said, they're beautiful. God created them. They're beautiful. And so when people, because I was telling my mom, she's kind of listening, we kind of listening together, but we were talking, it's like everybody just wants to have control over their life. You know, they want to be able to, you know, have some say, you know. And so I don't think everybody walks into these things knowing they're, you know, they're evil or things, you know, like they just want, like you said, they're trying to have peace. They're trying to have whatever, because they don't know that they have it in Christ, you know. And so I guess it's our responsibility to share the good news with them and the truth so that they'll know and understand. But I get why people get pulled into these things, especially if they get introduced by someone who they think is successful, or if they get introduced by it through someone they trust, like a parent. You know, if mama walks in with a crystal, you know, and I'm 8.
Right.
I'm going along with that.
Right.
So this is such an important topic, and I hope you guys continue it. And I got to get a hold of this recording because I got to share this stuff.
Yeah. Did you listen to part 1, Sherry?
I missed part 1. I just got part 2. So if there is a way I can get a hold of both, please, I would listen to it tonight.
Yes, I'll send you I'll text you the recording to part 1. Yep. Yeah. The replay. That one was. Yep. So that way you can share it as the Lord leads you. And then I will share part 2 as well. Yes. This is just confirmation. And I mean, my goodness, just how amazing it is for the Lord. And he'll continue to speak to hearts and minds and reveal truth throughout the replay, and as people listen to it. I just believe it's going to do exactly what the Lord intended for it to do. So thank you, Sherry and Mom.
Thank you for
joining. And Brittany, thank you as well. And so I think we can, Minister Kia, if you're okay, we can head into prayer.
Sure.
Yeah.
Would you like me to pray out, Ms. Abel?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. So would you mind doing the prayer of salvation for those who are listening that want to make Jesus Christ Lord of their life, or if they want to rededicate their life to Christ. Maybe they are engaged in these practices. Maybe they have strayed. I mean, the journey is real, right? But so is the gift of repentance, and so is God's grace. So if you could pray that prayer, then I want to pray, and you can join me in this as well. Pray over the people who are seeking that outside source of love, and who are kind of they have that, it's almost like I can sense there's some, what's the word, Holy Spirit? It's some spiritual sort of malnourishment that is opening up the door. So they're not getting enough of the Lord in them, the word in them. So they're seeking the outside sources, and that's what's filling their spirits instead of the word of God, the things of God. And so I want to pray for those who are just restless in their spirit, and even just the Lord keeps bringing just tormented. Like, people are being tormented and they're seeking these outside sources because they're seeking relief. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They're seeking relief and they just don't understand the depths of like the freedom and liberation that they have, that we all have in Jesus Christ. But if you could pray the prayer of salvation and rededication, and yes, oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer.
Yes.
Mm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've had on the line today. Lord, we thank you for those that are here live. We thank you for those that will hear the replay. We just thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you that for the stirring. We thank you for the quickening in the spirits, Lord God. Of all that are listening, Lord God, to the truth of God. We just thank you, God, for that quickening. We thank you for your Holy Spirit coming down, Lord God. We thank you, God. Lord God, as we go into the prayer of salvation and to the prayer, Lord God, of rededication, God, we are asking, Lord God, for you to touch the spirit, soul, the body, the heart, and the mind of everyone under the sound of our voices, Lord God, that anyone, Lord God, that is partaking in these practices, anyone, Lord God, that have partaken in these practices, Lord God, that they will turn from those ways, Lord God, they repent, they will turn from their ways, Lord God, and that they will seek you. Lord God, we are asking for fertile ground to be built, Lord God, built up in the hearts, the minds, and the spirit of your people, Lord God, for the ground to be fertile, Lord God, that as we do the sinner's prayer, as we do the prayer of rededication, Lord God, that it will fall on fertile ground, Lord God, and it will plant roots, Lord God, and those roots will grow into fruitful plants, Lord God, that can then flourish and grow, Lord God, rooted and grounded in you. Lord, we are casting down all things new age, all devices of the enemy, all tactics and schemes and gateways, Lord God, all portals into the darkness. We're casting those things down. They have to go. We're sweeping them away, Lord God. We're stomping on the devil's head, Lord God, getting him out the way, Lord God, opening up the door to you, to truth, to light. Darkness cannot consume the light, Lord God. Lightness will always overpower darkness. And Lord God, we are crawling on, and we're decreeing and declaring your light to go forth and just to snuff out all this darkness in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
for all of those under the sound of our voices that don't have a relationship with Jesus, that want a relationship with Jesus, let's say this sinner's prayer. Father, I am a sinner, and Father, I need you in my life. Lord, I invite you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I repent and ask for forgiveness of everything that I have done that wasn't worthy in your sight. And I'm asking for you to be my source, my guide, my encourager, my comfort, my everything that I need. I lay down any worship of any idols that I have done previously, and I worship only you from this day forward. Lord, I welcome you into my life. I love you, Lord. And this is the first day of our life together. In your precious and holy name, amen. Amen. And to the one who is a believer, who have partaken in any of these practices, but needs to rededicate themselves and give back, let us pray.
Thank you,
Lord, I repent and I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I have walked this line. I have participated in New Age devices. Lord God, I have
I have worshiped idols. I have done these different things. But Lord, I ask your forgiveness in Jesus' name today. Lord, forgive me of everything that I've done. Forgive me of walking in this darkness. Forgive me of idol worship. Forgive me for looking to another for my source when I should look to only you. Lord, today is the first day of the rest of my life that's focused on you, your word, by way of the Holy Spirit, and that's it. Lord, I love you today. I worship you and you alone. Please forgive me. Transform my mind by renewing it on your word.
Thank you.
Your precious and holy name, our friend. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to quickly just pray. Thank you, Lord. And it really just, please know, Minister Key and I are rejoicing with those who have rededicated their lives and who also have become our brothers and sister in the faith, right? Who have actually made Jesus Christ Lord of their life. Please know that as the angels in heaven are rejoicing, so are we. And just excited about what awaits you in the new life. And so I just want to pray just over those who are struggling with just finding like peace and just struggling with just the issue of feeling unloved. I just want to pray over those people tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, God, we continue to just come before you, God, on behalf of the people, God. I thank you, Lord, for just this honor and privilege, God, it is for Minister Key and I, God, not only to release truth, God, but to stand in the gap, God, for those who don't know you, God, and those, even those who know you, Lord, but as Minister Key pray, they just need to rededicate their lives unto you, God. I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for just even allowing us and entrusting us with this assignment, God. Tonight, God, I just want to continue to just pray unto you, God. I just want to lift up those, God, who are maybe even on the call now and who are going to listen to the replay, God, who have been just struggling and wrestling with finding peace, God, with just being just restless and just, I just see like just sleeplessness and not getting any rest at night and just being tormented by different thoughts, God, by just different worries, different burdens, God. And I just sense that, God, there's just many that are just seeking just all of these different avenues and just they're seeking quick relief and temporary relief and a temporary fix, God. I thank you, God, that this podcast and this episode and this study, God, that it was strategic, God, that it was divinely appointed, God. So I want to lift up those right now in the name of Jesus, God, those who need peace, God. I pray, God, that you would continue just to, or that you would, God, fill their hearts and mind with peace, God, that we would bind up, God, that spirit of restlessness, that spirit of anxiety, God, that spirit of just depression, God. We would even just bind up that spirit of just low self-esteem, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just loose your perfect peace over the heart and mind of every one of your children, God, who you know, God, is being tormented, God, at night, tormented in their sleep, tormented in their thought, audible sigh, tormented in their dreams, God. We bind up those tormenting spirits in the name of Jesus, God. I pray, God, that after tonight, God, that the children of God that hear our voice and hear this prayer, hear this petition tonight, God, or even on whatever day, God, that you allow them to hear, God, that after this time, God, that there will be such a peace, God, that will be released into their hearts and minds, God, in the name of Jesus. And they would know, God, that it was you, God, that it permeated every inch of their heart, that permeated every inch of their mind. God, I thank you, thank you, thank you. We even speak to those who are struggling with feeling unloved, God. Oh, I pray, God, that you will fill their heart with your love, God, that you will wrap your arms around them, God, just as a loving father does to his children, God. I thank you. Thank you, thank you, God, that they will seek you and they will call upon you, God, ever so more, God, so they can know you, truly know you and be in relationship with you, God. I thank you, thank you, thank you for everything you've allowed us to share tonight. Those who are on the line, those who want to listen to the replay, God, we know, God, that the word was sent forward, God, and that I pray, God, that it will fall on good ground, God. So we thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We just honor you, God. We just exalt and magnify you, Lord. It is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. Amen, 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 everybody. This actually concludes our series. And so, I mean, my goodness, part one and part two have just been so amazing. So shout out to Minister Kia, just one of my kingdom partners. And we have some other things that are coming up that'll be shared soon. So we are just excited about what the Lord's continuing to do with Women of Grace and Faith Talks with Kia as we just continue to walk this thing out to the best of our ability with the help of the Holy Spirit. So we thank you, those who joined tonight. We thank you, those who are going to listen to this replay, who have listened to this replay. Please share it as the Lord leads. Please, please, please. Good news is meant to be shared. So we pray that you share.
That's the out.
Right. The word has to go out, right? Mm-hmm. How beautiful are the feet of them who preach or bring the good news, right? So we just thank you, thank you, thank you. We just thank the Lord. Oh, he's so good. He's so faithful. He's so amazing. So we thank the Lord. And this is it at 8:30. We thank you for tuning in with us for this entire hour and a half. And just, gosh, I mean, God is just really just calling his children back to him. I mean, that's just it. That's all. So I'm excited about what God's going to do in the kingdom for his glory. So, all right, everybody, good night. Any last thoughts that you want to share, Minister Kia? Nope. Okay. All right. Well, good night. Oh, right. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a good night.